And I probably will start by saying, praise God, saints of Norton Summit, and good morning. I feel privileged to be the one to be the bearer of good news this morning to you. I hope I will be a blessing, the Lord allowing me. He's already done my introduction, but I could add just a little bit that I love the Lord as my personal Savior. He's been a friend that I journey with in this life. I am married. Like the Samaritan woman, I say I know who I am married to. I'm married to one husband. His name is Anthony. He's not here with us because he was working. I have come with our son, Samuel. Samuel, can you stand? That's our son, Samuel. I have my sister, Grace, who is visiting us from Kenya as well. Thanks to the border closures, she has spent 1 year with us now. I have a dear sister in Christ and a member of our African fellowship too, Heather Love. And we have a great grandson, Denzel, there. So we are a team from Rose River, and we are glad that even at short notice we could come. I think we are all soldiers in the army of the Lord, and as a soldier, one has to always be prepared. And I would like us to look, having celebrated just Easter the other weekend, to continue and look at the events of what happened in the whole Easter period, as our Savior was crucified and his resurrection power. So we will be talking about the power of his resurrection and looking a bit at the events. And I would like all of you to join me in reading Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 up to 10. Allow me if my accent sounds a bit different. I come from Kenya. I migrated here. It will be 14 years this July, and I love being in Australia. Much as sometimes it becomes lonely because our members of the family are back in Kenya. Yes, that's a bit of myself. I'm doing a Bachelor of Theology at Table, as he said. Let's get into the reading. Can you all read this together? Thank you. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, cast his feet, and washed in him. Then Jesus to say, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen. You're such beautiful readers. Yeah, thank you. And I like having that share when I'm sharing the word of God, because it's a living word. It's supposed to energize us and lift our spirits. So when you see me get excited, it's just me. It's the joy of the Lord. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were among the other women who were witnesses to the crucifixion of Christ. But they chose to follow Christ up to the tomb where his body was laid. At the culture of the day was, women were marginalized. So they could not go to face the Sanhedrin in defense of Christ, for the culture prohibited them doing so, but they did what was within their ability, choosing to go to the grave, to the tomb, see where their friend was laid, was a personal choice. They stuck with Christ when the men he had chosen deserted him. The men who were meant to be his friends, the men who had promised they would stand with him and even saying they would die in his place. We see Peter saying, if you die, I would die with you. And they all make the vow. But at the hour, they left him. None of them was there. Mary Magdalene and the other women, they prepared spices on the second day. And this, they were going to go to the tomb and still continue at least preserving his body. For they believed in what Jesus said, that on the third day, he would resurrect. This was going to be the second time that Mary Magdalene was going to preserve Jesus Christ's body, for she had already prepared it for burial when she poured all the perfume she had in the alabaster jar. And we read that one in Matthew chapter 26, verse 10 to 13. And I always like the way Mary, when she pours this perfume on Christ, she chooses to break that whole alabaster bottle and poured all the oil on him. Partly because the proceeds of what she was doing had enabled her to buy the perfume. And keeping this perfume would have been a constant reminder of her past. Yet Jesus had saved her from that past, telling us that when we come to Christ, anything that would keep drawing us to our past needs to be poured out completely. So you break even the perfume, the bottle, so that none of that keeps drawing you back to your past. There are times as well we are given a mission to fulfill for God. But instead of focusing on the core mission we have, we get distracted along the way. The angels did not waste time with the guards, as they also did not allow the women to be distracted. They were on a mission to fulfill. We need to always keep focused on the mission that's ahead of us. The enemy will always bring distractions on our way, but we will leave the enemy to deal with the distractors that he sends our way, not to accomplishing, trying to frustrate us accomplishing God's mission. In this case, the guards would have been a distraction for these women. They would have blocked the mission they were going for. And even when Christ is resurrected, the guards are bribed to tell a lie. Shamelessly, they couldn't tell the truth. They were bribed to lie about the resurrection. And we still see the fruits of their lies affecting many guards and the people of God today. For their lie is told even to this day by those opposed to the resurrection account of Christ. The guards had an opportunity to listen to what the angel told the women and believe in the risen Christ, but they chose to be compromised and satisfy their masters instead of risking their lives in Christ. And we saw the two thieves who were at the cross with Christ. One accepted he was Christ and asked for forgiveness, repents, and is assured of going to paradise with Christ that night, whereas the other one mocks him. And the guards here as well, they told his risen Christ they have an opportunity to believe he is the Savior, but they choose to be compromised. Unfortunately, bribes happen even today. Judas was bribed. The guards are bribed. Are we willing to trust the Lord enough and take risks for the sake of the gospel? Or do we at times as well get compromised? Do we participate sometimes in talks, simple things as gossips, that God clearly says in the book of Proverbs that he hates? The seven things he says that he detests, gossips is one of them. Or do we restrain from participating in gossips for the sake of our purity of heart and our mind? Do we tell untruths like these guards when the truth is too hard or costly for us to tell? Mary may not have been one of the disciples, but what she did for Jesus saw him have her name included in the Gospels and a command that whenever the Gospel is preached throughout the world, her act was to forever be told in her memory. The disciples had murmured over her costly perfume, but she had sacrificed the whole bottle of the alabaster oil, preserving Jesus for the burial and setting herself free of the past. That required it using the alabaster oil for attracting her customers, as I had said. And from hence, this moment, Jesus breaks the barrier of the culture against women from this point. And as women preachers, we are all affirmed in Christ. We are bearers of the message of the gospel because we are affirmed by Christ. The women's preparing the spices in readiness for an early morning visit to the tomb, the fragrance of the spices must have smelled better than the flowers we all place in the tomb and graves of our loved ones today. Their doing this was not only an act of love for Christ, but it was total devotion to Christ and paying their last respects to him. The two women were obvious of the obstacles that they could face even as they went. There was the huge stone blocking the tomb. There were the Roman guards guarding the tomb, but they still took the risk. The disciples, or his friends, at this time were hiding in fear of persecution for being his followers and his friends. But these women were not afraid of the consequences of being arrested for their love for Christ. We should, as well as fellow believers in Christ, always seize the opportunities that we have to advance the message of the gospel and not to focus on what we are not able to do. God will always provide a way when we have the right attitude. Do we take such risks for Christ? That's for you and me, do we? In this case, for the two women who were willing to do what was within their ability, God sent two angels whose coming down was preceded by an earthquake that shook the earth. And their appearance was like lightning and the clothes white as snow. And the guards, who must have been the best in their squad, were shaken like dead men. The angel did not bother talking to them. He did not bother with the guards. But he focused on the women who had a mission to accomplish for the glory of God. The angel moved the stone for them to access the tomb and witness that Christ had risen. Their access to the tomb was for them to be the witnesses. Christ was not there. He had risen. Christ was not in the tomb. He did not need the stone rolled away for him to come out of the tomb. For even the stones are under his command. Creation mourned the death of their king. He is the king of creation. When the sun refused to shine and the earth shook in quake, this tomb had also no power to hold Christ. Jesus needed no human aid to come of that grave. Creation mourned the death of the Messiah. Creation was able to tell that Jesus was the king and the prophesied Messiah. Yet, the priests of the day never identified that he was. Indeed, they joined with the authorities when they decided to bribe the guards not to tell about the resurrection account. As a result of the act, the women became the first human witnesses to our Savior's resurrection. And these women went evangelizing about the resurrection of Christ. Resurrection of Christ is a historical fact, which is also the key to our Christian faith. If Christ did not resurrect, then there would be no gospel to tell today, for his death would have been like those of the other prophets who died before the fulfillment of their prophecies. And worse still, his teachings about his death and resurrection in 3 days would have been deemed as heretical, because he said he would die and resurrect, but he did not resurrect. So now we celebrate this death and resurrection, for his bodily resurrection proves that indeed he is the ruler of God's kingdom. He was not a false prophet or an imposter. His resurrection is a guarantee of our own resurrection too. And the graves will not have the power to hold us when he returns. For their power of the grave was rendered powerless when Christ conquered it. Christ's resurrection gives us the basis to witness to others the good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can do the Great Commission with confidence because the resurrection power that raised Christ out of the grave lives in our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit of God. I love the way the angels give the women the instructions. He says, "Do not be afraid, for resurrection brings joy and not fear." Christ is not in the grave. He says, "He is not here." Jesus is not dead. And he should not be sought for amongst the dead. And then he said, "Come and see." The women could get into the tomb and verify that the tomb was empty. And it remains empty even today. And then he tells them, "Go quickly. Respond quickly. You go and tell my friends, the other disciples, that I want to meet them in Galilee." And the women were to spread the joy of the resurrection. and the great news of his resurrection. The saints who had died resurrected, and they came out after Jesus resurrected. And I imagine, because his account that says they resurrected immediately he got out of the grave, but they did not come out of the tomb until he had come out. I imagine what a fellowship they had there. You've resurrected, but you're not coming out. But yeah, with the resurrection itself, must have been a present time in the grave. Does anyone think so? Like me? Because they waited until he had come out, and then they revealed themselves to many people in the city. That was in Matthew chapter 27 and 52 and 53. These saints, they validate the resurrection account. And since we have the resurrector in our hearts too, we should probably proclaim the message of Jesus Christ with boldness. What are you willing to change in your life today to represent Christ better than you have done in the past? Does the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean something different to you this year than the other years? Are you confident to challenge those who hold the God's account or the God's perspective of the resurrection with the truth, as accounted by the women who spoke to the angels and the resurrection himself? It's my prayer that you have that boldness. And may the Lord bless you all as we continue with the Great Commission. God bless you. I'll pray. Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour, that we are acknowledging that the resurrection power that got you out of the grave is still powerful. And you live in our hearts to give us that assurance that we can boldly proclaim the message of your resurrection. That we can proclaim it with confidence, for you remain our hope. For your resurrection is a reassurance for us that even when we leave this life, when we get into their tombs and our graves, that will not be the end of our life. For you shall resurrect us. And as Paul says, when you are coming back, those who will be in the grave shall arise first, and we shall all meet you in the sky. How we look forward to that glorious moment that you will be coming back. I pray that, my Father, you will give us, all of us, that spirit, the energizing spirit, to speak your word and speak your word with eloquence. That we shall be, O Lord, your representatives, and we shall not be carried away like the disciples deserted you. That we shall not have any fear of associating with you, because it is too dangerous to be seen to be associated with you. And in these times, when even being a Christian is being looked at as being a weak thing to believe, and it is being demeaned, we pray that, oh God, your grace shall always be with us to tolerate the mockings, to tolerate the demeanings, but remain strong in our faith. For we know who you are and what you are to us, the resurrection. I thank you for the opportunity to come and be a blessing, to be the vessel that you could use to speak your word this morning to the saints of this church, oh God. And I pray, my Father, that all the needs that have been spoken and those that have not been spoken, for Lord, you know them, that you will meet them, oh God, for you are Jehovah, you are Jehovah Rapha, who is our healer. You are Jehovah, our provider. I thank you and I praise you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this church. I thank you, God, and I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity. And as we leave this place, oh God, I leave your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.